Pod.
Rugby pod.
Right, we're back. Hello and welcome. It's the rugby pod. But there's no Andrew Goode. He is on his son Lougher in Dubes. But we've got a hell of a replacement. He's in the studio. The great Dan Bigger from the south of France. Is that a real tan or a fake tan? I didn't ask you when you first came in.
It is a real tan. I got asked that quite a lot yesterday when I did Northampton Munster for TNT last...
It's the history of people gone by, Welsh lads gone
by. Yeah, I mean, admittedly, I'm fighting a losing battle. But yeah, it's a real tan. It's a real tan. The weather's a lot better in the south of France than it is in London. So it's a real tan. Jim, thanks for asking.
Well, you're looking great. That's what I'm saying. So that's what I was piggybacking. Also, who's looking great, but definitely not as tan. Producer Rob, you're in?
I'm here.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are pale. You're paler than me.
Pasty.
But we are happy.
Receding.
Yes. So Rob, better than all three of us in the studio, we've got a hell of a guest today. Biggs, you sorted out. I'll let you intro who we've got coming on later on.
We have got the one and only Louis Rees-Sammet, who has recently signed for the Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs. So that is going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be class. And we're going to run through a bit of the round of 16 from the Champions Cup and look forward to the quarterfinals. So settle back, Rob.
Enjoy.
And make sure you're subscribed on
Spotify.
Boom. Biggs has listened to the show before. Enjoy. Hell of a team.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Lucasfilm and Disney Plus, presenting an all-new Star Wars series, The Acolyte. Stream the 2-episode premiere June 4th and witness an investigation into a shocking crime spree where secrets will emerge and no one is safe from the truth. The Acolyte, 2-episode premiere, streaming June 4th only on Disney Plus.
Biggs, great to have you in London. Great to see you on TV at the weekend. You referenced that with the tan that was spoken about. I didn't watch the beginning bit. I watched the mid bit and the aftermath of the Northampton Munster game. But you're in the studio.
Brilliant to be here. What a studio. What a place.
Mm.
It beats the shabby internet that's going on in the south of France. So yeah. I think we're going to have to make this a bit more of a regular thing. What a place, though, to come in to work. Makes life a lot easier. In Northampton yesterday afternoon for the round of 16 game between Saints and Munster. Cracking game of rugby.
Mm.
Brilliant, brilliant game of rugby. And my old team are flying at the minute.
Yeah.
Absolutely flying. Fair play. They look like a team full of confidence. And it was great to be back there. The weather not quite as good in the East Midlands as it is in the south of France, but you can't get it all.
No, but it was great to see you. Pitchard as well, and I was rushing because apparently there was going to be a train strike from Centre Parks. I'd never been happier getting in my car at 9 o'clock at night in Nottingham, and I feel bad because me and the missus have had a few cross words about my facials and my demeanour. That's the quote unquote her over the last few days. So I feel harsh. I'm not going to go and say that it wasn't a successful 3 days in Centre Parks, but there was a lot of stress.
Yeah, talk to us about that stress, Jim, in terms of the slightly more traumatic event that went on in your life over the last few days.
Yeah, well, settle back. I spoke to Rob about it. I didn't know whether I was going to share it on the pod, but I thought I may as well because there's no dash cam footage. There's no footage out there of a hero running down.
Yeah.
So I might look a bit dishevelled today. I am. Feel a bit stressed because I've not slept. I've been at Centre Parks, but I basically saved a life. What day was it, Robert? Did I call you?
Thursday.
Don't know the date. I should get the date because that's the day that my life changed. Saved a life from a burning car. No shit.
From a burning car.
So here's the story, right, Biggs? So in Coventry, off to see my mate in the old haunt of Stow-on-the-Wold, driving on the A429, a road that I know very well. Been up and down there loads. And I don't know if you've ever seen a car crash before. Maybe the aftermath of one. Well, I was about 3 cars back, come around the bend, and the traffic had just stopped. And I was like, fucking hell, like looking at my watch. Oh, there's a bit of a crash up there. Like, probably need to turn around, got my meeting to go to. And then, I don't know, like I was literally about to turn around. So my car was kind of half ready to turn around. I got out the car and I just kind of walked towards like this kind of head-on crash. And it was, from then, it was just like being in a dreamland. There was a guy on the phone, obviously ringing the police, whatever, and I'm just walking towards it. I'm like, what is it? And they're like, don't go near it, don't go near it. And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, there's gas canisters in there, because it was a camper van that was part of the crash, and there was a van and the camper van that had collided, and I could see like a little bit of smoke and stuff like that. And I'm just like, no one else is walking towards it. The guy, to profile him, like, we can have a joke about it a little bit after, but he looked like Bob Marley. He looked like he was a Rastafarian. He was like, don't go, don't go. So I'm like, and I was like, fucking hell, there's a bloke in the car, in the van.
In the van.
The bloke in the van. So I've walked towards it, and they're like, don't go in, it's going to explode because there's a caravan that's fucking got gas canisters in. And then that was it, mate. Just walked towards it, man on fire style. And there's a guy,
Denzel,
and there's a guy in the driver's seat, and he's like, it looked like he might have been dead. So I'm smashed the window, bare hands, tried to open the door, couldn't open the door, and then there was like a bit of smoke at the front of the, in between the two cars, and then like ripped open the top of the car door, and yeah, I'm trying to get this guy out, and like, he's passed out. I didn't know whether he was dead. So it's even surreal just talking about it out loud. So, and then he's coming around, like, and then I'm trying to pull him out of the car, but the fucking dashboard is back, and the steering wheel's on top of him, fucking hands hanging off. Like, what the fuck? And then I walk away and I'm screaming, and the guy's like, starts coming around. I'm like, mate, you need to get out of the car. You need to get out of the car. Like, you're going to die. And people are starting to shout, get away, get away. And then
thinking the van's going to blow.
Going to explode. But like, having looked, I'm no expert on fucking how petrol and fire and like how long these things take, but didn't feel like it was about to explode. But it's more and more smoke's coming up. So I'm walking away and he's like, don't leave me. So I go back over and then I'm trying to pull him out of the car. I couldn't get him. So I've got my leg in the car. I'm trying to break his leg to try and get him from under the steering wheel and stuff like that. And he's not moving. So I'm like, mate, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Walk away. And he's starting to wiggle out of the car. So I go back in, get underneath him and fucking like trying to move him, couldn't move. And he started to come out even further. He's like in and out of consciousness, his fucking hands hanging off. Like, and I managed to get my leg in. I don't know if it snapped his leg or, yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of force, doesn't it? But in the moment, and next thing is to see him out of platoon, mate. We had it similar with Andy Rowe in Ibiza when he passed out. But I'm dragging this bloke. Okay, someone else has come over.
Away from the van.
Away from the van, his legs hanging, like his legs like broken. You can obviously, it's fucking in pieces. He's in and out of consciousness. Drag him about 8 meters away, and then the car, like, it doesn't blow up, but it sets up in flames. And then this other guy out of nowhere comes. He's got a knife in his hand. He's like, "I'm in the TA. Stand back." And he starts ripping his trousers right open. And like, I'm like, "What the fuck?" But I've got no idea because I'm in a bit of shock.
Yeah.
I'm still in the moment, but I'm not like. I'm just like, what the fuck? And then I think I can feel the heat coming off him. So I'm like, we need to. The guy's like, don't move him. He might have broke his neck. Like, as it starts, I'm like, fuck you. Start dragging him down, like the fucking guys in and out of conscience. You saved my life, brother. I get in the car, about to drive off, and this woman comes in. She's like, who are you? Just call me Big Jim. And like, I drive off and.
Carry on as in...
Well, I didn't know what to do. Like, the police turned up, but it could have been half an hour. I don't even know because I was in this weird, like, as in state of mind. But the thing is, before, I had my tooth out, right? And there's blood everywhere. So I've got blood on my top, a little bit from him, like patches from his hand. But like, my mouth is dripping. And like, as in this woman's like, yo, you're injured. And I look in the mirror and I've got blood pissing out because I've just had my tooth out. And obviously, the adrenaline's pumping around the body. And... yeah, and then it's so funny. I couldn't sleep the night after.
I'd imagine, yeah.
And then I'm in the bed. I'm like, was it me or was it fucking Bob Marley who saved this bloke's life? And I'm watching it. I'm just watching it from afar.
I think you should take the credit, Jim.
It sounds
as if you should take the credit. Have you been in touch with it, or do you know how the guy is after?
Well, I went on Google and it was like a man's in hospital without life-threatening injuries and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't really know.
You should find out where he is and go.
Yeah, I did think that. But I've definitely had, like, I didn't think I was affected by it, but I couldn't sleep for a couple of nights. I don't know whether that's because I was told my mates, and I've made up the story, so that, you know, if the dash cam footage comes out, but no, it happened. It was a moment, like, I've never experienced anything like it. So I even, like, now I feel a bit, like, jaded.
I don't know
what the word is. But I sent Rob the picture. How mad was the picture? I sent a picture after, just like, as if the missus comes home, she thinks I've been scrapping at a coffee shop. I've got blood all over me. And I'm like, no, actually. So I didn't take a picture of anything gory. But
just the scene.
Just the scene. It was fucking
I feel a bit bad because I thought you were taking the piss. I didn't believe you for a day afterwards.
Yeah.
Because it looks Photoshopped before, but yeah, unreal. Well done, mate. That's big, that, yeah. I'd have been turned around. I'd have just turned around.
Well, I thought I would have, but it was like no one else is going towards it. You know, like human instinct.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
But I hope someone's got on the dashcam because the man on fire, like as in Denzel, just fucking, no. I'm just glad he's all right.
Rugby pod by day, superhero by night, Jim.
Yeah, but...
Well done, mate.
Yeah, very saved well the life. Done. So yeah. I saved the life. I saved Andy Rowe's life. Yeah. His might have been chemical induced. We don't know in Ibiza, but...
And then celebrated with a weekend in Centre Parks.
Yeah, and then Centre Parks. Yeah. Back to normality.
You didn't quite get to relax and enjoy your hard work. You were straight back to work on in the pool. Was it 2 or 3 days on the spin? You couldn't manage three days.
I did 2 days. I said I'm not going in the pool third day in a row. I just can't. Just absolute bedlam. And I feel bad, but Centre Park's an expensive place to go.
Mm.
Like, and, you know, hiring bikes is like hiring a car. Like, that's what you're paying to go there. So if it was cheap, it was like, chatting to my mate, we went to Butlins when we were younger. Mongrel.
Yeah.
But you're paying 40 quid.
But you know what you're
quid.
Paying, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're getting a sausage, you're getting a hash brown, you're getting a piece of toast and some beans. Look at Rob licking his lips. Cheap as shit, you're getting a scrap, you're getting tribal tats, and you're getting like... Tom Jones, who looks like a woman but is pretending to be Tom Jones singing.
You don't mind for 40 quid then? It's a little bit, but I've actually got a flight back to the UK in a few weeks and I've booked it well in advance. Ryanair, Marseille to Bristol, and I've paid 17 quid for it. Now, exactly like you, you can't have any complaints about leg room, no pocket in the seat in front, whatever, long delays getting on the plane. If you're thinking 17 quid, it's cheap and cheerful, but... Like you said, Centre Parks is an expensive place and I've got two young boys as well. And I feel like when you go on holiday now, it's basically you're just paying a load of money to look after your kids in a different venue. It's a tough old slog. It's a tough old slog.
It's not. I want to talk a little bit about this because this will bring us on to talking about you loving life to a guest that is absolutely loving life. And we did it when we first had you on, but we were just talking in the green room, sounds so rock and roll, back there. But you are loving Toulon, aren't you? Like, as in with your family, doing a little bit of the media stuff.
From a quality of life, Jim, it is, we've never been happier as a family. The weather is brilliant. The lifestyle, the boys absolutely love it. The weather's just starting to turn a bit now, so it's going to be 23, 24 degrees over the weekend. Yeah, just really, really happy. And I think the rugby, I think everybody's well aware that the rugby in France is, the first thing to say is how passionate they are. The stadiums are full to the brim every single week. The atmosphere, it's like an international match every weekend. But it is very much like a roller coaster in France. You kind of like you win and you're the best team in the world and you lose and you're the worst team in the world. So you have to accept that there's going to be bumps along the road there from a rugby point of view. But from a quality of life and family point of view, we absolutely love it. And who knows what's going to happen after I'm contracted till next year. But we spoke about maybe staying on, even if rugby doesn't continue. We may look to stay on and live there for a couple of years and just give the boys the best opportunity to enjoy some more weather, to learn more French and just give them good experiences. So at the minute, Jim, I'm really happy. I'm loving doing bits and pieces like this as well, which is great.
Did you think you'd enjoy it as much as you have? And I'm going to just... kind of carry on that because without pumping up your tyres, and we were chatting about it, it's clear to see, mate, you're very good at it. Just come out of the game, you know the players, and even the evolution that TNT, whether or not that is kind of just happened, but the walk around the pitch, you see in your relationship with Finn Smith, that was me a few years ago. How was that guy and had that? But that is what people want to see.
Yeah.
And you're in that. So did you think you'd enjoy it as much as you are?
I didn't think I'd feel as comfortable doing it. You know, it's like when you see you doing this, for argument's sake, it's natural to you. You make it look easy, you and Goody, you make it look easy, mainly because you've done it a lot of times.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Whereas I didn't think I'd feel as comfortable as early on in, I suppose, your media career, feeling as comfortable as I am. And I think everything I've tried to do in life is kind of jump into it with 2 feet rather than sort of just dipping the toe in and afraid to make mistakes or afraid to give an opinion or whatever. I've tried to just really go into it and buy into what everything is about. But no, really good. Really enjoying it.
Yeah, great.
Although I did have a very different experience this morning coming into the studio. I stayed with some friends in London last night out in Nunhead and I was jam-packed up against the closing doors of the train this morning for about half an hour on the train in this morning. So slightly different commute to my drive along the coast to work in Toulon, but happy to be here. And it's been a good couple of days.
Well, I'm talking about commutes to work. Our next guest has got a slightly different commute to all of us for the next, hopefully, the next 5, 6, 7 years. Should we bring him in, Dan?
Let's do it.
Let's bring him in. So our guest this week is the wonderful Welsh flight. It's Lewis Rees-Sammet. There's no thing. It's I don't need to say anything else. Lewis Rees-Sammet. How are you, mate?
Very good. How are you?
Not as good as you.
Yeah, we're all saying how shit our lives are compared to yours, basically, at the minute.
Your life's the best, then Biggs, then mine, then producer Rob.
I don't know. I think Biggs is up there, mate.
Nah, you and Taylor Swift next year, mate, will be a bit different. Yeah, you'll be all right.
Gosh. I tell you what, the rugby community's not happy, Zam. You're at the football. Like, I'm there watching it with Mrs. And Mrs. Like, isn't that the lad who plays for Wales? I was like, watch this. Cha-ching, Kansas City Chiefs.
Zam, I tell you, generally really isn't happy that you've moved away. Who do you think I'm going to say?
James.
My 6-year-old son is absolutely in awe of Zam. You all good, though?
Yeah, all good, mate. Yeah, all good. I'm flying Wednesday, so kind of a one-way ticket over there and see how it goes. So, you know, I'm excited. I can't wait to get there and rip into it kind of thing.
Talk us through the last few weeks, Zam, sort of how it's been for you, what's sort of gone on, and give everybody a little bit more of an idea of what's been going on.
Yeah, so obviously I've been in Florida, 2.5 month training camp. You know, it was very intense, 6 days a week, kind of 12, 13 hour days. So it was a bit of a slog, but, you know, we had a pro day, so like a trial day in front of scouts on the 20th of March. And basically all the scouts from all the NFL teams went there and had a look at all of us. There was probably about 20 of us in total, so not that many people, to be honest. So it was good to get a lot of reps and show what you can do in front of scouts. And then basically from that day, you basically get called whether a team wants you into their facility or they want to work you out. So I ended up going to four teams. I was meant to go to a load more, but I kind of had my mind set on where I wanted to go based on the plan they had for me. So the day after pro day, I went to Cleveland Browns, seen their facility, met all the coaches and everything, and they were absolutely amazing to me. And then flew to New York. So I went to the Jets, went to their facility, had a workout. That went really well, met the coaches. So they were great with me, and then went to the Broncos on the Monday. So within like 3 or 4 days, I already went to 3 or 4 franchises, went to their facilities, met the coaches. You know, some worked me out, some didn't, but it was an amazing experience. And then the final one was the Kansas City Chiefs, and they've been absolutely amazing to me. Met all the coaches. You know, we've got a very good plan together, all on the same page, and basically see how it goes from now, because, you know, it's going to be a busy few months for me with preseason coming up now in a week's time. But, you know, I'm so excited. I fly Wednesday and I get straight into it and get to work, basically. So that's kind of been my last 3 months. I was meant to visit a load of more teams, but I've always said to myself, you know, I'm going to sit down with my family and basically go to a team that has a good plan for me, and we're all on the same page. And the Kansas City Chiefs were the team for me. So, you know, I'm excited to rip right into it and get to work.
Zam, it's fucking rock and roll. In it, like, it really is. I am genuinely absolutely buzzing for you. I had James Cook actually here in the studio last week, who's head of the IPP program, who's been part of your journey as well. Mm-hmm. And it couldn't have gone any better for you. Like, I imagine if you mapped it out, Zam, and said, right, this is what I'm doing. Headline news: I'm leaving rugby, I'm leaving the Six Nations, I'm leaving the wooden spoon behind, I'm leaving Gloucester, as lovely as Gloucester and Cheltenham are. And 3 months down the line, 4 months down the line, I'm going to be signing for the Super Bowl champions. Like, have you had time to pinch yourself or not? Like, you are smiling from ear to ear. You look $1 million, but I know you want to get to work. But just give us the kind of feeling of when you walk through the door of the Super Bowl champions and you were like, this is it.
This is it, yeah.
When you step into the facility, like, you just feel like you're going to win. They have obviously all their Super Bowl trophies, like, straight ahead of you. And just everyone in the building so confident. They're so chatty. You can just feel like a belief within the facility itself. So when I went in there, I was just like blown away. I was like, wow, this is the place I want to be at. And I really believe in myself. I really believe that I can come in here and make a difference to a team. And yeah, I've met all the coaches and they were so lovely to me as well. And I've met a couple of players. I haven't met everyone, but even just the staff around the building, you just know that they have belief in everything they do. And they're such a professional organization. So that was kind of the feeling I went in there with, and yeah, they absolutely blew me away.
Yeah, well, James said they rolled out the red carpet for you, like, as in you met Andy Reid, you met the coaches, which doesn't always happen when they're looking to sign young players. Did Travis Kelce, did he open the door, did he, to heaven? Did he open the gates and say,
no,
come in?
No, to be fair, Pat and Travis have messaged me, and
Hang on, say again.
We're not letting him get away with just calling him Pat.
Right, hang on.
Not a chance.
Just say them words again.
He's my best mate now. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce messaged me, you know, just saying, welcome to KC. If I ever need anything, then let me know. And
fucking hell.
My Mrs. Zam wants a couple of tickets to Taylor Swift in the summer, so that could be the first
yeah,
request.
I'll try and make that work.
Cheers, mate. I appreciate that.
Oh, Zam, that's crazy. Because I know you're an NFL fan, right? So actually to say that out loud.
Oh, it's mad.
It's mad.
Basically, when I left the facility and I was coming home on the plane, like I was in the airport in Kansas and I went through security and some guy was like, he was like looking at me weird and I was just looking at him and he was like, are you a sports person? I was like, yeah. And he was like, who do you play for? And honestly, when I said it, I felt so weird saying it. I was like, are you the Kansas City Chiefs? And when I said it, I was like, oh God, that feels weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it still hasn't sunk in yet. And I think it's going to sink in, you know, when I get to meet all the boys, I get to training the first day. But yeah, it's been an absolute whirlwind for 3 months. And I think, I don't know, it just hasn't set in. And I'm just so excited to meet everyone and just start training.
You look excited for it, Zam. Anyway, I was going to ask you about how different the training has been in terms of, say, this sort of two-month camp you've been on compared to, say, what a World Cup training camp was like in Switzerland and Turkey, which we went on last summer. Just give us a bit of an insight how different it is, how tough it was, or if it's got any similarities.
I'd say the main difference is I've never done anything as hard as I did in Turkey and Switzerland. And I don't know what preseason is like for the NFL, but that is probably going to be one of the hardest things I ever do at a regular World Cup preseason camp. So I think that the training, the difference is it's more explosive. It's not so
endurance based.
Yeah, you're not doing a long endurance testing and training. It's all about explosive power, speed, short, sharp kind of stuff. So it's perfect for me.
I was going to say that suits you down to the ground. I was going to say you couldn't have handpicked it any better, mate.
Yeah, but with that, is it easier then, Zam? So, you know, we're watching it unfold on social media and you watch the combine. So is the training more suited to you? Did you find it easier?
I mean, I found it easier than the World Cup training camp, but
because it suited you,
Yeah, because it suits me. Like, I'm more explosive. I'm all about speed, short, sharp intervals, as opposed to doing MAS on the pitch, just constantly running up and down the pitch. There is a massive difference. And, you know, it very much suits me. And that's, I kind of knew that going into it. But it was a big grind for 2.5 months. And it was a lot of classroom stuff, because obviously you're trying to catch up the sport where boys have been playing since they were 8 years old. So it was more the mental side of the game as opposed to the physical side of the game that I was trying to adapt to more. But yeah, it's been an amazing 3.5 months and, you know, I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Yeah, James was saying that, you know, the times that came out that were made public on the day, that you'd actually ran quicker, you'd done better, and they actually have access, of course they do, to all the data.
Yeah.
So how nervous were you when you did your 40-yard dash? But you'd done a quicker time that before, as right in saying that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been so nervous in my life than that pro day. Because, I mean, this is my dream. And that day was pretty much going to determine what I do in my life. So I was very nervous. At the same time, I was trying to stay as composed as possible because I've got to try and catch a ball as well. So I can't be shaking. I can't be nervous. But yeah, the 40-yard dash didn't go as I'd like. I know I've ran way quicker in the leading up to it. But
what's your quickest you did on that?
So I was running like high 4.2s, low 4.3s. But I ran like 4.43. But yeah, it is what it is. Like, I know, like, I'm more of like a game speed kind of guy. Like, I'm not a sprinter. So I've never done track and field. I've never done athletics. So I'm not used to just running in a straight line. I'm more about game speed, being able to run in a match, being able to weave. And I think that's basically what the NFL is going to allow me to do. So I'm never really going to be running just in a straight line. It's all about what you're going to be able to do in a game. So I assume the coaches have obviously picked up on that, because my 40 it was good, but it wasn't amazing. So, yeah.
It's funny, Zam, because that's kind of like a little bit what we say. You know, like playing with you for the last few years, when people ask, oh, how quick is he? What's his time? I said, well, we don't really know, but what's incredible with you is how you transfer your speed into gameplay and into a game scenario. So
yeah.
I suppose I was going to, you mentioned there was a lot of classroom work and lots of sort of stuff, how you feel in the pitch and things. How difficult is that classroom? Like, how big is the playbook? How complicated are things? Or is it going to take a fair bit of revision over the next couple of weeks, couple of months?
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of revision. You've got to learn, like, over a season, probably 1,000 plays. And you're going into a game with 80 plays. I mean, in rugby, what, we got five scrum attacks.
And you normally ask me what the plays are for them anyway.
Why am I running here? So it's a lot of revision time. But the way I'm seeing it is, like, I'm actually loving this. So, like, I'm really enjoying learning the game. And I'm really enjoying just, you know, diving deep into the game itself and into football. So, you know, here I've got my iPad with the playbook on it. So,
well, that's an improvement over the last 5 years. We said you've been in rugby, Sam, anyway.
So it just goes to show, like, I'm actually loving it.
Yeah, and I can see.
I'm really loving, like, just learning the game in general. So I've kind of been glued to that iPad for the past 2 weeks since I've signed. So I want to try and pick up as much as I can before going into camp. But yeah, I fly Wednesday and I'm going to go train with Pat and the receivers. And yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing experience. And there's no one better to learn from than the likes of Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Andy Reid. So yeah, I'm very excited and I can't wait to get going.
Well, I get goosebumps when he says
their names. Yeah, it's incredible,
isn't it? Just because, and again, I'm getting a bit of hate online, Zam, that I'm all over it at the minute and chatting to James Cook about it. As athletes, I can't even believe I'm putting myself in the same kind of sentence as athletes when I'm sat here with Biggs and obviously chatting to you, Zam. I talk about money, right, as in, like, you base athletes in sport and entertainment and the money's aligned with that. Can you give us a bit of insight around what that is? Because I know in American sports, they talk about it, don't they? So there's talk of your contract.
Yeah.
I think it's just interesting for the listeners to hear what the incentive is. Yes, it's the NFL, but there's also a financial incentive. Like, are you allowed to tell us, Zam? Are you happy? James Cook was going to mention it, but he said it wasn't for him to say, but he said it is spoken about. Like, you speak about money in American sports.
So it's actually funny you say that, because there's actually a website online that you can find out everyone's contracts because they're public. So everyone knows how much you earn, no matter who you are. Like, you can go find, you can go find Patrick Mahomes' contract if you wanted to. Like, I think it's like a deal in American sport that you can find out people's contracts. But basically what you do is, as a rookie, you kind of sign a 3-year deal and you get guaranteed money. So if you get injured or you get cut, you're still guaranteed that money, but you can get cut at any point. So it's a bit of a cutthroat sport. Like, I could go to preseason now, not do well, and I would just get cut straight away.
So you're not, like, guaranteed that three.
So you're not guaranteed the 3 years at all. And no one is. No one is, unless you're guaranteed the whole contract. Yeah. So basically how it works is you sign a contract. If you get put in the practice squad, they terminate this contract that you've just signed. You're a free agent for 24 hours, so any team can pick you up. And then, which is called waivers, if you ever heard that term. So you've got to clear waivers. So if no one picks you up, they can then put you on the practice squad. If not, then they put you on the 53-man squad and you stick to that original contract that you signed. So they have minimum money for certain. So if you make the 53-man squad, your minimum is, I think this year is $790,000.
Yeah.
If you make the practice squad, it's 225 or 250 grand minimum. So that's basically how the contracts work. Yeah. I think only 46 or 47 suit up for match day. So there is still like 6 or 7 people that don't actually play, but they're still getting paid the same amount as some rookies or some players that are in the 53-man squad. But yeah, I signed the 3-year and I just need to make the 53-man squad now. And my head is fully dived into this book. Mm. And, you know, I'm ready to show everyone what I can do.
Zam, we know you really push for time. So just finish up on one more question.
Yeah.
Is the goal for you to really make it as a wide receiver, or do you think it's maybe a place on the special teams, or is it still maybe a little bit too early to tell? What's your sort of plan, or what's your ideas on that?
Yeah, so the plan we've got is, obviously, the new kickoff rules this year is absolutely massive. That's where my main position is going to be. So I've got to fight to be a starter in that position this year. And then it's within the offense, it's about how quick I can learn the playbook, because, you know, we've got a plan to put me in various positions, play out the backfield at running back, be a slot receiver, just being able to use me as much as possible and be creative with me. So it's all about me learning the playbook and getting the chemistry with all the players on offense to be able to use me. So, I mean, it's kind of up to me to learn all the plays and being able to integrate myself into a starting role. But I know it's going to take a lot and it's going to take a bit of time for me to do that. And all the coaches know that. So there's no pressure, but I'm going to try and learn it as quick as possible to put me in the best position to get on the field.
Well, Zam, it's going to be awesome to watch. It's been awesome up to this point. I know it's about getting down to business now for you. So to have you on has been epic. I know your family going to move over. You type your brother. You're in business with your brother. Let's just talk about that. Because the Kelsey boys have got Accelerator. That's their drink. What's Lewis Rees Sammet and his brother's drink called?
Yeah, so we got Savitar, which is an energy drink. Me and my brother set it up. It's been 2.5 years in the making, just got released a couple of months ago. So yeah, my brother's going to move over in July. We're going to get it out in America and see how it goes. But I know what I've got to focus on. But at the same time, my brother's dealing with Savitar and all the other directors within the company. So yeah, my brother's moving over July. My family hopefully move over for the season. I know what I got to do. I got to try and make the 53-man squad and then we can go from there.
Amazing, Zam. Mate, we're very, very grateful for you giving up some time. We know how busy you are, and it'd be awesome if we could check back in with you maybe at some point during the season and let us know how you're getting on.
For sure. Thanks,
brilliant,
guys.
I'll break the news to James again, mate. Don't worry.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Oh, appreciate
cheers,
it.
Mate. Thanks, guys. Tell Travis I was asking for him as well. He liked, or the New Heights liked, one of my comments. So they know me.
Cheers, Sam.
Right, cheers, guys.
Legend.
Bye-bye.
Beats your weekend in Centre Park, Jim, I think, doesn't it?
It beats my weekend every weekend, even the best of the best. I am so happy for him.
You can see how excited he is, can't you? He generally feels excited about the hard work that's ahead of him as well. And I think that's one thing that maybe a lot of people in the rugby community think Zam's just this natural talent. But probably at the start, he was a little bit like that in terms of relied on his ability and was able to just get away with that. But the last 2 or 3 years, the amount of application he's put to learning plays, I know we had a bit of a joke about asking me what the plays are and where I'm supposed to be. But
that's what wingers do, though, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. No winger knows any plays, basically. But he's applied himself. He's worked hard on his repeatability. And I think that is going to put him in really good shape for obviously what he's got to come ahead. So, I'm thrilled for him because it was a big decision for him, wasn't it? To take the, because there would be no doubt he'd have had offers in Japan, in France, in England. So I think for him to take himself out of that and take a chance, he's, you know, I'm really thrilled that it's come through for him.
It couldn't have gone any better. Imagine getting a message from Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I had a message off producer Rob this morning, so I'm not sure.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Rob, it is cool though. Like, are you looking at that thing? Like, what are you thinking as a Stockton resident? Oh. And it's so far away from our lives, isn't it?
Yeah. He's just living the dream, isn't he? That's like the next level of athleticism, fame, celebrity. Yeah.
Because that's part of him as well, isn't it? Like, as in building the brand, having another brand on the side.
Yeah.
And the old guard of rugby would be like, what the... this is the new breed.
I was just about to say, I don't think rugby was ever enough for Zam. I think he always wanted that stardom.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. And I think, like you said, Jim, I remember we did that. Remember we did that walk along the beach and we were talking Zam a year or two ago now? And the big thing is everyone wants people to have opinions and characters and things. And then as soon as someone has an opinion or is a character, they get shot down in flames. What I think has been really good for him is he's put himself out there. He said, look, this is what I want. I want to grow the energy drink. I want to make myself a star, a superstar, not just in rugby, in Wales, in the UK, whatever it is. He wants to be globally known and good on him. You know, good on him for that. He's not ashamed to say that's what he wants. And I think the more people that get behind him instead of maybe criticising or saying, oh, you left your country or whatever it was, I think the more people that get behind him, the better. And I was just thrilled to see how happy he looked. He did. He generally looked happy, didn't he?
Of course.
And excited. And it was hard not to be, but...
Yeah. But I know, but as in, it is genuine.
Yeah.
Like, as in, and that's humility. That's how someone like a youngster like that who's got it all going on, who wants it, you can see the smile and that's humility, right? Because he must be thinking, what the fuck?
He's thinking his world's probably going to blow up here, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So it's probably for him... He's got to have good people around him. And I know that he's really close with his family and his family will take care of, like you said, his brother's going to run the energy drinks side of things and the off-field stuff. And I think for him now, it really is about just knuckling down and focusing on the playbook, the iPad, all those bits and pieces. Because if he doesn't, like I said, that you could see that the 53-man squad is what he wants. So he's got to work his absolute socks off to get there. Leave everybody else worry about the media stuff, the drink stuff, etc. And I'm sure that in time that'll blow up for him as well. But it's incredible. We'll have to take a trip out there to do the pod out there and maybe catch up with him in person.
Yeah, I might do that. I think about it. But I am mad keen.
We'll see if Pat and Travis keep the doors open for us. But...
I'm buzzing. No, class to have him. Wicked. Cheers for sorting that, Biggs.
No problem.
Right, lads. Enough of the big time. Let's talk bigger time. Let's talk Champions Cup round of 16.
All right, nice.
I'm a big fan of the concept, though. Me and Biggs were having a chat beforehand about how the round of 16 sort of fits. And
you're a big fan. Historically, you've liked it?
Not so much historically, just because the Falcons have never done anything in it.
So who's your team then? In my mind, I have like a few teams. So I'll think Stade Français, I'll think Munster, I'll think Toulouse, Leicester a little bit because back in the day. Who do you think, Rob?
I, obviously, because my team never do anything, I just kind of support the players as opposed to teams. So
That's a cop-out answer.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But he doesn't normally cop out. I said, come on, keep going.
So I'm a big fan of Saints at the minute. I like the way they play. I like Finn Smith.
All right, Rob. Calm down, Rob.
Yeah. Who else? But do you not have like an old school like Trevor Brennan in your mind or anything? Like there you go. Yeah, Sun came on at the weekend.
I played against some of these boys, but I used to love Biarritz back in the day where they had Yashvili,
Imanohar Nordicki,
Ari Nordicki, Betson, those boys. And we actually lost a quarter final to those boys in San Sebastian, actually. So I played in that stadium 14 years ago against in that quarter final and then played obviously last weekend there. But that was kind of like, I always used to love the, do you remember their little ground that they used to play at? It used to be, you used to have to see the red roof, the terraced houses, the little pitch. And I always used to think like whenever they were playing, it was always used to be one that you used to tune into and watch rather than just your team as well. So Biarritz would have been a bit of a team for me.
I love the Champions Cup. Like having played in it, won it a couple of times, was at Leicester in the squad then. So I kind of naturally and personally have like a deep-rooted love for the tournament. It's gone through a few chops and changes. I can't get my head around the South African teams just yet being in it. Like the travel, the fact that the Bulls now need to come up against
Saints.
They're coming to Saints.
And not knowing until 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. So all of a sudden they've got to book flights and everything to get to Northampton for a Saturday night kickoff. So.
But forget the logistics. Like, yes, I'm big on the logistics, but even seeing the stadium, right? Yeah. So you can look at, I don't know, Toulouse Racing, sold out, Northampton, Munster.
Sold out.
We've bought in. I know the South African teams, there's a lot going on there and it's all a little bit different, but what are your thoughts on the makeup of like the round of 16, the tournament as a whole?
I think that the amount of quality games this weekend was right up there. And I think that's a big thing. You see like Exeter and Bath being sold out. And I just think that in the old format, when you had the six groups of four, I felt like every team in that quarterfinal could win the competition. Whereas I feel a little bit at the minute in this round of 16 format, is there sort of four or five teams that can probably win it out of those 16 teams? You know, for argument's sake, like I think Exeter and Bath are two brilliant teams who are going really well in the Premiership. Do I think that either of them could probably win the tournament by having to play Toulouse in the next round, then potentially Bordeaux, then potentially Leinster in a final, for argument's sake? And I'm not quite sure that's possible for them right now. But I look at teams like Leinster, La Rochelle, possibly Northampton at the minute with the form they're showing and the belief they've got, Bordeaux. And I think those sort of three or four teams are going to really, probably a step above the rest of the teams in that round of 16. I mean, Munster yesterday, they qualified for the round of 16s with one victory in the group stages. So for me, that's where you kind of think, well, you know, are you getting the top teams or the creme of the creme in the group stages coming through into the knockout stages? So that's the only thing I'd say. I think teams have been able to get into the last 16 and knockout matches without having actually done a huge amount. From somebody who's won it a couple of times, Jim, do you like the format or do you think that the old way was better, or do you think that there's any changes that you would make to it?
I'd have it all condensed, so it's an easier format to follow. So you go round the 16, quarter, semi, final. So there's more jeopardy in that space. I like Rob's idea that we've had spoke about before, where you pick them out of a hat. Is that right?
So I think I think like the football. I actually stole it off Nick Mullins.
Yeah,
but yeah,
but I quite like that. So that maybe it opens up like
from the very start type of thing. Or?
No, I think once you get into like the round of 16s and the quarters, so it takes out all the kind of planning that you'd have around it. As in, so we knew early on where it was going to go, and that we got the repeat of the last round into the
Munster Saints, of course, La Rochelle
again.
Stormers,
you know, the fact that Leinster have all their games in Dublin because they're generally top seeds. I have a few issues around it, and there is a romance around it. Like you mentioned the Prem teams there, then that's a perfect example. You probably did that, probably not intentionally, but how can the Prem teams compete with the French teams and you Leinster's. I know Leicester put in a good account of themselves.
Yeah, very good.
So it is really difficult. Like, do you want? Are you looking for that kind of romantic story, which very rarely happens in rugby? Do you know what I mean? Like, them stories don't happen because of the physicality around it.
You've only got to look at the last sort of 2 or 3 years, really, in terms of La Rochelle winning it, Leinster runners up.
Yeah.
And, you know, generally, you look at the budgets, you look at the player, you know, those teams are generally going to be there or thereabouts every year. Mm. And it's, you know, probably teams in the Premiership and certainly, you know, the Welsh regions and other teams are probably a little bit below those levels at the minute, aren't they? You know, Leinster La Rochelle next weekend is going to be pretty special, I think, for it being a quarter final is going to be really special. But, you know, I think Toulouse looked brilliant with Intermac and DuPont in tandem again. Bordeaux look incredibly strong because Bordeaux's route is obviously they're going to stay in France for the whole run if they get there, because even if I think Toulouse will beat Exeter in the next round, so Bordeaux look good.
Well, let's start with Bordeaux. Let's start with Bordeaux, because again, me and Goody were chatting. I never before said, oh, Bordeaux have got a chance until they smoke Sarries in the group stages.
Yeah.
And Sarries come out of the Six Nations, smoke Quins at the Tottenham Stadium, not very good against Northampton, Saints, but kind of in it, and then get the pants pulled down in Bordeaux.
I watched the game last weekend first against Saints on the Friday night, and I thought the one against Quins, they were emotionally there and at it when they, you know, I know it was Farrell's 250th game, there was a big occasion at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, big rivalry, so I think that emotionally they were there, and then I watched them the week afterwards, and they looked, not that they didn't want to be there, but you know what it's like, Jim,
defense,
as a player.
Is their main thing, and they were just
and
off.
They were way off it, and probably only about 15%, but you know how much of a difference that makes, especially when you're playing a team who, on the other side of the coin in terms of Saints, were fully charged and ready to go back after losing to Bristol. So I didn't think it was probably the best preparation for Sarries going into an away game, knockout rugby against Bordeaux. And I think they were probably still reeling a little bit from that heavy defeat in the group stages. Probably mentally they were thinking, it's a tough place to come and win here. The crowd are on top of you, 33,000 people in the stadium. And they were never really in it, were they?
Mm.
But it was actually only, I think it was only 10-0 at half time, or 10-3.
It was 10-0. 10-0. Yeah.
So even at 10-0, you still felt, you know, I think Bordeaux had 3 or 4 tries disallowed. So you sort of felt like 10-0 was a result for Sarries at half time. And then obviously the 20 minutes after half time, they just got blown away.
Where Sarries are normally good in the second half
good,
as well.
But they, Bordeaux's attack, but I mean, Penno was incredible. I know he didn't get on the score sheet, but just the amount of defenders he beats every single week is incredible. I mean, Luku looks a different player when he plays with Bordeaux compared to the Six Nations he's had, and they just look a really, really strong team, and are going to take some beer. But Sarries just looked, again, they looked off it. Once they went down, you just never felt like they were coming back, did you? It felt like it was just one-way traffic, and I think that'll be a concern for Sarries. I think a week off will be good for those boys. A lot of boys who have obviously played a lot of minutes during the Six Nations have had to back up 2 or 3 weeks. They looked a little bit tired against Saints the week before, and they looked very tired in that second half against Bordeaux. So I think a week off will do them really good. But
Sarries, like, just looking at some of the stats, missed 42 tackles, conceded 16 turnovers.
About 40 of them were on Pinot, I think, weren't they? Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, it is the bogey team for them. But when you look at it, and you said that if their running will be all in France up to the final at the Tottenham Stadium, and the kind of players that we've just profiled there, and the fact that you've got Damien Penno, who I think's the form winger in the world at the minute. 14 carries, 13 defenders beaten, 3 offloads and a try assist, no try.
It's quite funny because when we used to play against Penno for Wales, you just couldn't analyse him because he pops up in so many different positions. He's not really a winger.
Mm.
He's almost just like a utility player he's like a hybrid on the field. Yeah, look, if he stays in the kind of form he's in at the minute with Jalibert to come back, they're going to take some serious beating, especially in southwest of France, no doubt.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right,
all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app. This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
The Quins have a chance. We're going to review and preview.
Do Quins have a chance? Yes, because if Quins have one of their days, they can rip up any defence in world rugby. But I think they've been a little bit too up and down over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and Glasgow gave them a proper game. Glasgow, a good team. They're not a great team. They're a good team. And this is the levels, right? As in, we know, having played at the Champions Cup. And if it wasn't for a few decisions, Glasgow could have won that game. And they didn't get the rub of the green. They didn't get the decisions. The number, I don't want to go through them all, but they were hard done by. But Glasgow should have beat Quins.
Yeah. And Quins sort of switched off a little bit, didn't they? After going, what was it, 21-7 up. All of a sudden, then Glasgow come back 24-21 up and just played some brilliant rugby, played in the right areas of the pitch. I thought George Holm was actually really good on the weekend. Great to have Tua Pilato back for them as well.
He makes a huge difference.
He's going to make a difference to any team he plays in, clearly. Quins got over in the last couple of minutes with a driving maul try. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I said, Quins have been too inconsistent. And against a team in banging form like Bordeaux going to the southwest of France, I just think that you can't be as loose as what Quins are. Otherwise, the game's going to be too far behind. And but I think it's going to be a cracker of a game. Both teams are going to want to play. Marcus Smith, to be fair, has been brilliant, hasn't he, the last few weeks since coming back from international duty. So,
what level is he, Marcus Smith, now? Like, is he at the international level? Because he hasn't really had a run. And these games, Biggs, are the ones, aren't they? As in, to be really, like your Owen Farrells.
I think, Jim, in answer to that, nobody can question how talented Marcus is. He's one of the most talented rugby players on the planet. But probably what England will want a little bit more from him is in terms of that control of the game. So when you go 21-7 up at home against Glasgow, you don't really want to have to win that again. But he's coming under a bit of pressure from Finn Smith at Northampton as well. Because Finn is actually showing some real maturity in his game. Not just, you know, he's got some lovely plays and he's got some lovely moments, but he's showing some real maturity beyond his age. And that's sort of probably what the England coaches will want to see a little bit more, maybe from Marcus in terms of that, you know. But Finn Smith, speaking of Northampton and Munster, was excellent again yesterday.
We'll come straight onto that because we both are saying Bordeaux against Quins at the weekend.
I would be very surprised if Bordeaux didn't go through yet.
Yeah, but the Northampton thing that you were talking about and mentioning Finn Smith there, the way that Northampton beat Munster, and Munster, like you heard, there was loads of illness in the camp. I didn't realise that. I wondered why RG Snyman wasn't playing again.
Yeah, but he was a big miss as well.
But he was a big miss, but they played really well. Mm. Like, regardless of the sickness or whatever, they brought a real dogged game plan where Northampton had to have, and you used this analogy with Scotland before, around a plan B. And that's where the game management and having to show that actually shows that Northampton, like they've got a chance in this tournament because they can play two different
ways.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think I spoke to Sam Vesey, the attack coach, spoke to obviously Phil Dowson, the director of rugby, and a couple of players. And they actually said how poor they attacked by Saints' standard yesterday in terms of their game and how they actually attacked. And I asked Phil Dowson in the aftermatch there, I said, was it more pleasing that you're finding a different way to win games, a very untraditional way of winning games for a Saints point of view? And he sort of said it's the maturity in people like Finn Smith, like Alex Mitchell, who are figuring out ways to win games. Mm. I mean, they scored a brilliant try to get him ahead. Brilliant, brilliant try. Something that they've worked, that play has been in the locker book since...
The
George Hendy first one.
Scotsman.
Yeah.
Scottish.
I was going to say, there must be some Scottish in it.
100%.
But that play has been in the playbook since the first day I joined. So it's exactly the same play they've run. And it's no coincidence that they've run it so well, because Sam Vesey just gets them running the same plays, attacking in different channels all the time. I think he deserves huge, huge credit, because he is, for me, the best attack coach that's out there. And the way that he has brought on all these players. And there's no coincidence that Finn Smith's been at the club for what, just over a year now, 18 months maybe. And you can see his game has gone up huge amounts. I believe that obviously he's playing in a good team, but he's being coached by one of the best coaches that's out there as well. And
do you think he could overtake Marcus Smith because he's got that all-round game?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see any reason why he couldn't be ahead of Marcus in the pecking order. But I think Marcus is always going to be in the conversation because of how talented he is.
Yeah, Northampton are interesting though, because it feels like it's now or never for them because of Courtney. Waller. Who else got announced?
Ludlam.
Ludlam's obviously off to France as well.
Paul Hill's
going to be Scottish.
Scottish, Edinburgh.
But it does feel like now.
He was complaining yesterday. I spoke to him yesterday. He was complaining about the house prices in Edinburgh as well. He said he's having an absolute nightmare trying to find a place.
Really? I've got a mate, Craig from Revere.
We'll put him in touch. I agree with that, Jim. I think that's a really good point, because you take those four or five players we've mentioned on top of a lot of other squad players, and you know how important squad players are, and you think, can that team do the same next year as what they're doing at the minute without those players? And you'd have to probably argue, you'd have to think it would be challenging, wouldn't it?
Because defence was an Achilles heel for Northampton, and you look at Lewis Ludlam and Courtney, massive, massive defenders for them.
And I think Lee Radford deserves a huge credit. And again, I spoke to a few of the players before and after the game, and I asked them, what's he been like? Has he been, overcomplicating things, or has he been flooding it with information? He said he's worked on the mentality and keeping things really simple. I said it's exactly the same as what Sean Edwards does. Sean Edwards, everyone thinks Sean Edwards is this mastermind and comes up with all these brilliant schemes and plans. And he is the simplest coach literally, he is the simplest defence, but he is absolutely nothing short of spectacular. The best defence coach that's ever been out there for me. Because he gets people to want to defend. And that sometimes is a challenge. Because I'm sure you've played with players, Jim, who thought, defence is sort of the last thing they want to be practising after training. Everyone wants to be kicking or passing or line up throwing, whatever. So I think he deserves a huge amount of credit for bringing that mentality into the club. But I think Northampton have got a huge chance to make a semi-final.
And maybe it is better. Because now I'm thinking, right, okay, Northampton on a six-day turnaround.
Yep.
The Bulls absolutely smoked Leon. Yes, it weren't an amazing game. The Bulls have got some quality players. Yep. Curtly Aronsir, Willie LaRue, Enric Lowe in the background.
David Creel at 12 is just absolutely carving.
Do you know what I mean? They've got some quality players, but with the travel, and maybe that does add to it. I don't know.
There may be an element of the Bulls who may just thinking, they may try and just simplify that game next week against Northampton. They may just come and say, right, we're going to scrum and maul you and kick the leather off the ball and squeeze you. Because I think, and then when they get their opportunity to bring guys like Cader Moody and Willie LaRue and these guys into the game.
They didn't say Cader Moody as well. I was looking for like the list of names that they've got.
This is a proper team that are coming to Franklin's Gardens next weekend, but I think home advantage will just be enough for the Saints.
Yeah, because then that brings us on to who they play or could play in the semi-final.
Yep.
And it's we're going to call it the grudge match.
5 meetings in the last 4 years.
He knows it all. Ron O'Gara, head coach of La Rochelle, Munsterman, Leinster. I know Johnny Sexton's not there, but the history of the games at the in the knockout stages, La Rochelle have got their number. Like, there's a lot going into this. Early doors in the championship with it being a quarter-final. Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, it's kind of like this fixture has been a final the last 2 years. So all of a sudden you feel you feel like it's a little bit early in the tournament for these two teams to be meeting. But La Rochelle seem to have got Leinster's number a little bit. And I said this yesterday, I think with Leinster and Ireland a little bit, I think you look at what England did to Ireland, they basically matched their power and stopped their power game. If you allow Ireland or Leinster to win collisions and dictate play, then you're in a whole lot of trouble. Whereas that's why I think La Rochelle have been so successful against Leinster, because they've got the ability to stop that power with Antonio, with Skelton, with Dante, guys like this who are just brute athletes, and have got the ability to stop that momentum in games. Whereas perhaps other teams haven't quite got the ability to hold that the momentum and lose collision after collision after collision. So I think that's why La Rochelle are so successful against Leinster, is because they've got the ability to match the power for power. But I do think Leinster will fancy their chances this year. I think La Rochelle aren't quite the same team. I know they had obviously a brilliant win in Cape Town over the weekend against the Storm. I was a little bit fortunate with obviously the conversion not being slotted at the end. But I do think La Rochelle are not quite the same. You know, they've picked up a little bit of form the last month. But you look at the top 14 this year, they've been sort of around about 7th or 8th for most of the season. Now they've started to climb a little bit. But, I mean, O'Gara would have been pretty happy with that draw, I think. And, you know, he's clearly a very, very good coach, and will have worked out another plan to get the better of Leinster.
Well, if La Rochelle do it, it will be bigger than anyone that they've had before,
yeah.
I think, well, because it'll be third on the spin, the dynasty that they speak about, but also the way they've done it, because they nearly didn't make it.
They nearly didn't make it. They would have had to go away to Cape Town.
Yeah.
Away to
win by
Dublin,
a point. Yeah.
Away to potentially Pretoria, and then obviously the final in London. So it's going to take some doing from them. Sometimes you just know how to win big games.
And because they've got Leinster's number as well.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You imagine the pressure. I don't know how the Irish team, I don't know how the Irish lads and the coaches will deal with that. Maybe Jacques Nienaber having him in.
Yeah.
And this is what I wanted to ask you. Like, I'm trying to see, and again, I'm removed from the game, so I'm watching it on my iPhone with the kids screaming over me back. And then if I'm at home, I'll record it and go back and watch it. But I have a different view of the game to someone like you, one of the greatest to have done it. Have you seen any evolution, any more innovation? And I'll give you what I think I might have seen.
Okay.
As superficial as it is. I don't remember Jameson Gibson-Park being involved as much. Almost like an Anton DuPont feel to him now.
Free roll.
Even in attack. So it feels like now they're using the short side more, which will, when you play against bigger teams and like good defences like La Rochelle at the highest level, how you play down that short side is really, really important. The manipulation around that. But I feel as if he's maybe added more to his game, or he's been allowed to add more because Johnny's not there. And that's where in my mind I'm thinking, right, how do they beat La Rochelle? Like, because if they've been physically outdone, that physical dominance will still be there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the small manipulations that they have evolved in, maybe under Jacques Nienaber, that gives
100%. I think a little bit on that is that obviously with Johnny retiring, clearly he was the focal point of everything that Leinster and Ireland did. But now you've got Jack Crowley in at Ireland, and you've got Ross Byrne in at Leinster, who are clearly very experienced. You know, Ross Byrne in particular is a very experienced player. But they probably look to Jameson Gibson-Park a little bit more for direction on the field. They probably look to him for saying, right, well, what's the option here? Rather than having a Johnny-type figure running the whole ship. For me, I think what's more impressive about him is because Leinster plays so many attacking phases, and they move the ball and they're always an option. But for me, it's his error count. His error count is so low. And normally when you've got lots of balls and you've got lots of play, you are going to make errors. But for me, he just takes the right decision, taking the short side for his second try on the weekend. Just the ability when to go back to James Lowe to use it for extra length. If Anton DuPont probably wasn't on this planet, then we'd be saying this guy's the best nine in the world by a mile.
Mm.
I thought Jameson Gibson-Park actually box kicked the ball quite a lot on the weekend, in terms, especially in that first half. There was a couple of times around that halfway line where the ball had gone slow and they just thought, well, we're not interested in playing here, which is perhaps a little bit of that Springbok influence. If they're not getting anywhere, look to try something different. But again, I just thought he took control of those situations really well against a Leicester team who obviously came, you know, missing a few players, Reffel, Martin, these guys who obviously would have made a big difference. But they're such a well-drilled machine, aren't they, Leinster? That even when they're 69% possession against them and territory, they just still find a way to win, and probably in third gear, really, weren't they, on the weekend?
Yeah.
So full credit to Leicester. But again, did any of us really think that Leicester could go there and win on Saturday night?
No.
Probably not. And if
they overachieved when I looked at it.
100% in the actual game. But I just think there was too many of those games on the weekend where you just thought there's not really a chance of this team winning against that team. But Leinster are just clinical, workmanlike performance, never really got out of third gear, and are going to have to step up, are going to have to get out of third gear this weekend.
I think Leinster win.
I think Leinster win as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like the momentum's gathering with them. That game against Leicester, the fact that it was a bit stuffy, you know, they weren't out of third gear. I had an anonymous tip-off as well that came through on Instagram that said the reason Jameson Gibson-Part hasn't shaved his hair or had his lid done is because they've not won the Champions Cup. So when they do, that's when he'll get it
done. That's when it's coming off.
Because what, you know, like he's running around, he's so good. I'm just like, I'm drawn. Do you genuinely, Diggs? Do you look at it like that? Do you ever think about his lid or not? Never.
I will this Saturday when I'm watching
but you
the
haven't.
Game.
Have
I
you haven't.
Not massive. I know
not
what
massively
your point
or not.
Is. I probably have had a glance of it. Okay. Yeah, and I think he's. I mean, he's probably not short of a quid or two either. So he could probably get himself out to Turkey or whatever and get the job done.
Well, even Andre Esterhazen, he's had it done in that mid-season break. Yeah. Like he's gone through the shedding phase and it's now coming back before our eyes as we play. But that's it. Once he gets that done, he's complete. Yeah. He needs to shave the beard off as well and just go moustache. I think he needs it. Look, he needs re-grooming.
The way he's playing at the minute, he may just keep going with it.
Yeah.
Maybe you can sort him out with a few products, Jim.
It's not a Morland Brawl. Yeah, we'll get him some Morland Brawl. I don't know if your hair grows back with that, Jameson, but we can try it and send you some over.
You need to start, you know, that powder that people have where you can fill in the gaps.
You know the powder, because I use the powder, Rob.
I know, I've heard other people talk about it.
Nanogen, it's called. It's like fibres. Biggs, you don't need it. You got a few greys sprouting.
There's a few, well,
that's the sun.
Or two kids.
Yeah, very true. That's
I'm not quite sure which one it is.
Yeah. I normally go for the high and tight because then you don't see the greys as much.
Yeah, that's what I do as well.
Yeah. How old are you now, Rob? 40, are you 43?
33, I am, yeah. I told
you're 33?
You, yeah, I told you the other day I was 34, but I'm actually 33.
You forgot?
Yeah. We had a message on Instagram here, lads. So, fan question.
Oh,
so
name? Got, name?
Oh, I didn't write the name down.
Right.
So you've got to pick one, you've got to bench one, and you've got to drop one.
Oh, the banter game.
Yeah, but it's got to be based on current form or athletic potential, because otherwise it might be a quite easy question to answer. Curtly Aronson, Damien Penaud, and Feyenoord Bosso. You've got to pick one, you've got to bench one, and you've got to drop one.
I think I know which way I'm going, but...
I'll be honest, I'm not going to just agree with you if I have to, because I've got history of doing that. Like, I'm easily manipulated.
Why don't you go first, then?
So which ones want me to go?
Who would you pick?
Damien Penaud.
I would agree with that.
I'm
on the same wavelength,
Yeah, we've gone through the reasons why.
Yeah.
I think he's the best winger. I know you profiled him as just an athlete. Been there, done it.
Proven.
Yeah. No complaints,
Yeah.
So who's on the bench then?
I'd go Feyenoord Bosso.
If you hadn't said current form,
I
think I would have changed, I would have flipped the two of them round. But I think in current form, I thought he was absolutely brilliant on the weekend. His explosivity in contact, his pace, his power. I don't think anybody tackled him front up.
We've called it on here, Biggs. And again, I'm not talented at many things. As a lover... and also identifying talent. I saw this kid and I was like, they've got it. That's it.
Yeah, now he's got it.
Especially now when you get the ball, you need players, you need athletes across the board that can, like Theo Dan, for example, is a kind of a lesser example. He's a hooker, but I watched him early on. I was like, he's got it.
He's got something,
Curtis Langdon, when he carries the ball.
Yeah.
Right? He's got something. I watched Feyenoord Bosso and I was like, I'm telling you now, this kid is going to be, if he stays fit, has made it.
Yeah,
because his point of difference is, forget the tries that he'll score, the power, just that, and you've played players.
His ability to beat people, his ability to get his team going forward. And again, a little bit similar to Penaud, actually. He pops up quite often around those sort of working off nine inside 10, around those fringes. And I think on current form, I would say, he just sneaks on the bench for me.
And Curtly Aaron said they're going to hate us on here because we've built the South African beast. And Rob, I don't know whether this has come through off Instagram.
Rob just stitched us up with his ads. We were upsetting someone, weren't we?
No, of course. But Curtly Aaron said, like, he's the ball's best player.
Yeah.
Like, when he gets the ball. But it's based on now. And maybe it's because the balls haven't, you know, we haven't seen them as much. Because if you go
Curtly
base,
Aaron said he's 100% scoring a hat trick next week at Franklin's Gardens, isn't he? 100%.
But if you went based on like the South Africa, if you went based on the World Cup, you would say him, wouldn't you?
I think it's probably helped that Penaud and Feyenoord Bosso were absolutely brilliant this weekend to make our minds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you look at the stats on Feyenoord Bosso, just from the weekend, 15 carries, 106 metres made, 12 defenders beaten.
I got to be honest, I'm actually surprised it's not more than that. It felt like it was more when you're watching the game.
But
didn't
it's not even the beating the defender, is it? It's like the metres after.
Yeah.
In, like, again, we've mentioned it, but that then metres around.
And quite often, sometimes those stats could be misleading from a back three point of view, because obviously the wingers are catching it deep and bringing it back. But there wasn't a huge amount of that in his game on the weekend, was there? So those metres were hard-earned metres as well. England have got themselves a very, very good player in that.
How bitter did he sound there?
No, it's nothing to do with me anymore. It's nothing to do with me. It can't be my fault anymore.
You can see why he's done that. But just on that, a shout out to Ethan Roots as well. 28 carries in the game as well. So he was great. Do you see the celebrations after? And this is how I view rugby, right? Is I'm looking for like stuff off the ball and after the game. So when they all jumped into each other after, there was an Alistair Strokos, Joe Andrew, I don't know if you remember
where
they collided
the clash heads.
There was one at the weekend. So Feo Bosa has gone straight into Vincent and he's on the floor after I think he broke his nose. Feo Bosa has jumped into him. But he's good for Exeter.
Been brilliant.
Vincent.
Delivering pizza a few months ago.
Hell of a story. But again, gifted athlete.
Yeah, dynamic, quick, a little bit in the mould of a Sam Simmons type of player.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So they've sort of replaced like for like-ish in that sense. So yeah, again, Exeter, I thought Exeter had blown it, to be honest, because that wind was so strong on the weekend. So strong in terms of some of the conversion attempts and some of the box kick attempts were just, you know, they were laughable, weren't they, in terms of that. So I thought to go in at 12-5 down at halftime after having that strong a wind. But I thought the second half, again, Feo Bosa came to the fore, Vincent came to the fore, just Ethan Roots came to the fore, just knocking and knocking and knocking on the door.
Like old school Exeter.
Yeah, it was old school, yeah. That was an Exeter performance of sort of 5-6 years ago. Just getting the job done in the 20. They seem to just spend all the time in the 22, just picking and going. Even to the point where I think if you saw it right on half time, they had literally had 5 guys over and they just continued to pick and go and pick and go. And I thought at that point the game was gone. And I actually thought Bath clearly didn't help them losing Finn Russell so early on.
Yeah.
But I thought Bath managed that first half really, really well. And to go in 12-5 ahead was a big plus. And I thought they'd see it home then. But I thought Exeter, like I said, just rolled the sleeves up into that wind in the second half. Crowd got behind them. And they just looked fit and they looked strong. They looked the better team in the end. And yeah, some match.
You forget they're champions. They won it during COVID, didn't they? So Hoggy, I completely forgot. I was chatting to Stuart Hoggy. He's like, oh, when we won the Champions Cup, I was like looking at it. I was like, oh, yeah, you actually did. Yeah. But no one remembers COVID, do they?
They're very much in a transition period, aren't they? They've got a lot of young players who are clearly going to be very good players. You know, your Chris Jones's, your Dav Jenkins, your Vincent's, your guys like that. But they probably need to spend 2, 3, 4 seasons, a little bit like what Northampton have done, in terms of they've kept that core group together for 3, 4, 5 years, and now it's kind of paying dividends. Whereas I think Exeter at the minute are probably in a little bit of that stage. Are they good enough to win the Premiership or to win the Champions Cup? Right now, I'm not sure, but I think if they keep that group together, you can tell that they're building something, and they've obviously got a track record of producing very, very good players and championship-winning teams. So I think they've probably got the toughest test going away to Toulouse this weekend.
Yeah.
They'll have belief in their own group, but I think Toulouse will be relatively comfortable on the weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I like about Vincent is how fucked he looks at the end of a game. He's like nose is hanging off, his face is all over.
That's because Feo Bosa headbutted him after. Yeah.
But you see him last week as well, he was the same. Yeah. Nose hanging off.
Yeah, there's some players who sort of look like after 80 minutes just look as if they've just been for a 10-minute spin on the bike, don't they? And then there's others who make it look...
Michael Hooper.
I'll
tell you why, because I interviewed him last week and then I thought when I was like looking back at stuff, and my memory of Michael Hooper was he always looked fucked after, you know?
Yeah, there's certain players like that, him. Someone like Justin Tipperick looks as if he's just sort of literally just strolled around the pitch for 80 minutes, but there's...
And Andrew Porter walks on the pitch and his head's bleeding.
Yeah.
Like Alan Wynne-Jones always looked fucked to me.
Al was fucked from minute one, but he had the most incredible engine to just keep digging in for another 79 minutes.
Yeah.
So we always made a joke with him. We said, we actually think he's actually very unfit, but he's just got the most incredible dig in and engine just to keep going and going and going. So he looked as if he left it all out there, didn't he? That's for sure.
Rob, anything else happening in Ruggers?
Well, it's about 4 weeks later on, but Melanchello winning the Six Nations Player of the Tournament.
Tommaso Melanchello.
You called it, didn't you, mate?
Some name as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and his body. Have you seen
it's
his body?
It's better than Dan Bigger and Jim Hamilton, isn't it?
Have you seen the bod on him or not?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Thoroughly deserved.
Some people don't think that. But people are calling Ben Earl.
I mean, Ben Earl was brilliant. Yeah. But if Ben Earl had won it, I'd have been saying exactly the same. Mm. Thoroughly deserved. I think you could have gone either way with it. I don't think you'd have had any complaints from anybody if Ben Earl had won it. And I don't think you can have any complaints that Menoncello's won it.
What about Stephen Kitsoff? He's had enough of the weather in Ireland.
Did a bit of digging in this, actually. Stephen Getty Kitsoff. We did a live show with him in Dublin. Really nice bloke. So a few things. Should I say what I've heard?
Yeah, fire away.
Well, all the talk in South Africa at the minute is around next captain. So they're looking for the next captain. So that's one part of it. And his name is in the ring. The other one I've heard is that Rassie wants them back playing in South Africa as well. So that's the kind of the headline of why he would go back if the captaincy thing's available. But things clearly aren't good at Ulster, are they? And you think about, like, in terms of what they need as a team, and this is chatting to Stevie Ferris, like going back and forth, and said, is it a bit weird? And he said it's not weird. He said, we don't need a loose head. The scrum's struggling anyway. And Steve hasn't improved that. It's just the same because it's more than the loose head. He's like, so the fee that he probably gets, the fact that it's rained for 6 months in Ulster and he's been going back to Cape Town, going home quite a lot. He's got his business there. I thought it was a big signing for Ulster.
Huge signing, yeah.
But a weird kind of sign of him. Maybe it was the Dwayne Vermeulen effect. But I don't know, but Ulster are struggling, aren't they? Loads of things like the pitch.
I mean, they obviously had a good win on the weekend against Montpellier, but on the whole, they've been struggling, haven't they?
And
they,
CEO's gone.
CEO, head coach. I think Richie Murphy's in the interim job at the minute, isn't he? So, it's uncertain. And obviously, I think Billy Burns is leaving for Munster next year. So at the minute, they haven't really got a household name as a 10.
Mm.
So they're going to have to do a bit of work before the start of the season. But yeah, it's a strange one because, like you said, a big sign-in, 3-year deal, and to let him go after a year, things clearly haven't worked out. Like you said, whether it's what they really needed, whether it's, you know, they need to free up some money as well, because that's the way the game is as well at the minute, in terms of, like you said, they may need to spend whatever they were spending on Kitsoff on maybe bringing a household name for 10 in.
Yeah, the interesting model in Ireland, as we segue, chatting to Stevie, a bit of insight, because I was like, well, why are, like, they're not funded like Leinster, for example? And he said they've only got one centrally contracted player, which is Ian Henderson. So the rest is like, as
it were.
It's got
to be funded by Ulster.
Exactly, which will be ridiculous. So it's a really interesting model, isn't it? I know they've got that a little bit of friction. Does a Harry Byrne go up to Ulster? Does a Ronan Kelleher go up there? I don't know. But it's a shame to see them because they were going in a good direction. It's just literally fucking come crumbling.
So things are clearly not right at Ulster and they're going to need a little bit of work on and off the field, I think, ahead of the next year. But, you know, who knows, a big win away in Claremont, which, you know, a Challenge Cup could save the season and bring some positivity to it. But things clearly aren't quite right there at the minute.
All right, Dan, let's round off the upcoming fixtures. We'll throw in some Challenge Cup ones there as well. Let's do it. There's only one.
As a Challenge Cup winner.
I feel like I'm belittling the comp.
I feel like we should pay it some attention.
Yes, let's do it. Right, so, well, actually, your old club are going to Kingsome on Friday night, Gloucester Ospreys.
Yeah, I think Gloucester have turned the corner a little bit, haven't they?
Big win against Leicester.
Zach Mercer, obviously, in brilliant form.
Yeah, won the Prem Cup, big win down at Welford Road.
It was almost a bit of a catalyst, wasn't it, that Prem Cup to boost the season a little bit. So I think Ospreys have been in really good form, actually. They've been sort of flying the flag for the Welsh regions, top Welsh region in the URC, which probably isn't that difficult to be at the minute, but they're going okay. They seem to have got a good team spirit there. Toby Booth's doing a decent job. But I think at home advantage is big, and I think Gloucester will just pip it.
I agree. That'll be class. We'll round up the Champions Cup and then we'll talk the Challenge Cup. Bordeaux, Quins, we both agree.
Bordeaux.
Leinster, La Rochelle, did you give your prediction?
I did, and I just think Leinster.
Look at us. Hey, we're all on tune. You come in, Rob, if you disagree on any of these as well. Northampton, Bulls.
Northampton.
Oh, you paused slightly.
I'm going balls there.
What? Here we go. Just because I said Rob coming out of the report, telling me why you're going balls. Just, mate, they are travelling a long way.
Because Aarons is going to come out and score four tries, isn't he?
Fair
play. Because
you
two slayed him. That's
I'm sold. But George Hendy, mate, on the bench. Big shout to George Hendy.
Yeah, big shout. He was brilliant.
He
big
was.
Big shout
the Scotsman. So the Challenge Cup on Saturday, we mentioned Clermont versus Ulster.
Clermont, I think, we'll just take that.
I'd be very surprised if Ulster win.
Yeah, I don't think both teams are in particularly great form. Because Clermont only just got past the Cheetahs on the weekend. I think it was 27-22. But Clermont at home, I think we'll just take that.
Yeah. The Hollywood Bet Sharks versus hashtag always Edinburgh. Sharks are going better now.
Sharks are going better.
They sacked the CEO, didn't they? Yeah. My mate owns the Sharks as well. And I met the CEO. I like the CEO.
Really?
They're clearly going to invest in the club. They've got Andre Hesterhazen.
Coming back.
Coming back as well. Trevor and Kanye?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's coming back. Yeah.
And they've obviously got Ebenezer Perth. Yeah. Bong Yun Banambi. Yeah. They've got Mazzoli Mapimpi. Lukin Yam. They've got some good players.
They shouldn't be where they are.
Well, exactly. So there's changes happening there. But Edinburgh, a good team, like Glasgow. Yeah. They're a good team.
I was impressed with Edinburgh on the weekend, actually. I thought they played... again, Bayonne sent a second team, but Edinburgh still had to do the job, and I thought they were worthy winners. But if there's going to be an away win, I fancy maybe Edinburgh to sneak that.
Yeah, you could. Yep. They lost a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I fancy... It was close. I think Edinburgh may sneak that.
Yeah, big shout to Hamish Watson on fire. Again, just signed another year, at least. Good player. Right, Sunday, Toulouse-Exeter.
Toulouse by a couple of scores, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I had that as well. And the big one, Benetton versus Connacht. Feel bad saying that. 12:30 on a Sunday. That's the graveyard shift,
isn't
it?
That's the graveyard shift. Hey.
But it's lovely. Treviso's a lovely place, and we love Menicello.
There'll be some lovely sort of pizza and Peroni in the town afterwards.
It'll be a nice
setup, yeah.
If I was to play in a game right now...
That's the one you're choosing?
That's the one I'd choose. I'd be like, right, put me in there, I'll come anywhere.
You'd be in Treviso Square sipping on a nice cold Peroni by 3 p.m.
I really would. Like, I'd be happy. That's the game for me.
Who do I think will win that? I think Benetton being at home will take that, yeah.
Agree, Rob?
Yeah.
Pollard?
Not asked.
For being harsh. Right, lads. We've got a few shout-outs before we go. Isn't that right, Rob? You're going to shout out as well. We've got a few.
Yeah, there is there. So Tyler has dropped us an email this week.
All right, Tyler.
To say that the Milan rugby community are organising for 50 rugby players from the Ukraine to come to Italy this summer for 2 weeks of rugby camps at various clubs. All of these players have obviously been greatly impacted by the war, so they're arranging this trip to, you know, hopefully it'll offer them some respite from the situation over there. So big hand to Tyler and everyone involved over in Milan. For sorting this out.
I liked how Rob read that. It was like he's reading it, but you're putting your own spin on it. Yeah. You know, like as in it's
very natural.
Natural. Just
very
like
natural.
Thanks, lads.
You're engaged in Tyler, what they're doing for Ukraine, like the Italian, like a bit of a 2 week camp. Big shout out to Tyler.
Massive shout out to Will Todd from Eastleigh RFC, donating a kidney to his brother. And because of that, we'll have to retire. He actually played his last ever game this weekend at Romsey. So fair play to Will, and we hope everything goes well with this.
Right, big shout out to Will. Got another shout out, Danny Brown. He's been in touch. He's asking if we'll give him a shout out. Of course we will, because it's the mighty Coventry who, in front of a bumper 3,000 fans, beasted Cambridge. Is there beasted? Yeah, basically, I've seen the scoreline. It's 64 points to 12 with Toby Venner scoring a hat trick on his home debut. Well in, Toby. And a shout out to everyone at Coventry. You know, when I go home to Cov, like I'll go round the old haunts and stuff like that. I'll take the kids for a drive around the council estates where I used to live.
Yeah.
And I was ball boy at Cov back in the day when they were at the Butts Arena or whatever close to my house. So it's weird nostalgia. You know, like anything that I see with like Coventry that comes up, it takes me to this weird place.
They haven't offered you like a player coach role or anything, Jim, have they?
No, I don't know.
They doesn't appeal to you or?
I haven't got time. I don't want to put my hat in the ring. Like there's a lot going on, but I have thought about giving back to the game soon, but just not yet. This is us giving back. I'm giving them a shout out. Yeah. Big shout out to Coventry.
James DiGiorgio.
DiGiorgio, yeah.
That look good?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so he's emailed in asking for a shout-out to the amazing under-13s from Maldon Rugby Club who went on their first international tour.
Loose. Yeah. For the parents.
Yeah. They played 6 and won 5, so not a bad result, especially as well because they were considering they played some under-14s as well, so playing up against age group. But James, just wanted to say thanks to all the coaches for taking them and all the lads themselves for being brilliant.
Yeah, do love a tour.
Yeah, we used to go down to Tenby, down in West Wales, Caravan Park, Kiln Park, I still remember it. You know, like the caravans have all got the electricity plugs.
Yeah.
We used to go around as a 13, 14-year-olds pulling the plugs out of the electricity, out of the caravans, sort of making sure people who got the lights on. So apologies to anyone who was in Kiln Park 15, 16, 17 years ago had their electricity pulled up.
I do have a thing about caravans. Beck's dad's a caravan salesman, made loads, lost loads, has brought it back up to a level now. And I go around to the place where it's got all the caravans and I don't fit in it. It's hilarious hearing him. He's like, mate, this one, you know, you put an awning on the side, you'll be all right, you can stand up. The toilet, like, how small are the toilets? Who's living? That's worse than centre parts.
Yeah,
the caravans.
It's not my choice of holiday, put it that way, but each to their own, Jim. Each to their own.
It is, yeah. Well, I saved the man that was involved in the collision with the caravan.
I think a shout out to you, Jim.
Thanks, yeah. Dan. Thanks,
let's give
mate.
A shout out
I
to Jim.
I do still feel a bit shaky,
yeah,
even today.
The biggest shout out to Jim for saving a man.
Yeah. We don't know if it's true. I might have completely made it up. But the Rastafarian man, if you were there, please get in touch with producer Rob and say it was there. Otherwise, I'm a psychopath and I need to go and get some help. Right. Biggs, thank you, mate.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me. Yeah. It's great to be in studio.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So hopefully be back again soon.
Yeah, you definitely will. And producer Rob as well.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers. And thanks to all the listeners. You're the most important. So don't forget to check us out on YouTube and make sure you're subscribed on
Spotify. Does Biggs know what we do at the end?
Well, we'll find out now. Rugby spot.
He doesn't listen. He doesn't listen.
What would your wife say if she was on here?
She would go rugby pod, 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 pod.
There you go.
That a boy.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.